Hello and welcome to the podcast from Southsea's favourite record cafe, Pie and Vinyl. I'm James Sandy, and in this podcast, we pick over February's vinyl offerings and we find out what went on at the BBC Six Music Festival. I am allowed to say that, I believe. And we find out what's going on for Record Store Day in April, and we also get a lowdown on National Pie Week and give you some clues for up-and-coming in-stores in the shop. It's all very exciting, and joining me in a parade of excitement and helping me to make some sense of the stranger sounds of the month are Steve, Tom and Rat.
Hello.
Hello.
The silence was deafening.
Good evening, everybody.
So, I was waiting for us to all say hello together.
Like a panel show.
Yeah, or like harmonising hello. Nice. Maybe we could do
good
that.
Good evening, Mr. Sandy.
That's beautiful. We're going to start with a couple of the records that we picked up in February. And some, I think, spill over February, but we're going to be lenient. And Steve, we're going to start with you.
You always start with me.
Well, I'd like to pick on you first.
Yeah.
I see you as the man in charge.
No, not at all. Okay, it's Wild Beasts, present tense. I'm a huge fan of this band, and I was lucky enough to meet one of them at the weekend, and I think absolutely scared him with my weird knowledge of seeing that band play some of their very early gigs and what they were wearing at the time. I just loved him from day one. I think Limbo Pato, their debut, that's probably my favourite album, although this one is close to overtaking.
What's this one called?
This is called Present Tense. It's a beautiful record. Hayden's vocals are incredible. They're very understated. His vocal range is just phenomenal. I'm always a sucker for a good singer, especially when they mean it. Tom Fleming's got some great moments on there. So Wild Beasts, if you haven't heard Wild Beasts, they're a four-piece band that consists of two male singers, almost like a baritone, and a falsetto singer, Hayden Thorpe and Tom Fleming. And it's beautiful electronic-based music. The producer, I think, is Lex. It's a cracker.
Are there any standout tracks that you should point people towards, or is it all good stuff?
It really is strong, and they touch on some really strong subjects on there. It's kind of pop music, but very sinister pop music. You know, there's a song about euthanasia, Sweet Spot. And the lyrics are great, and that's one of the great things with Wild Beasts. Lyrically, they're very strong. There's another song, Wanderlust, you may have heard. It's been played, bandied around on radio for quite a while now. That's kind of about the class system, and I guess there's a very quotable line at the end of the song where it kind of settles into this kind of sinister refrain. Kind of talks about English bands speaking in an American language and almost takes a bit of a snipe at English bands that do that, perhaps with the old grunge thing that's going on. It might be aimed at that.
Sinister pop is an interesting category.
Sinister pop,
I don't think I've touched that category since Joe Dolce's Shut Up Your Face.
Yeah, well, he invented it. God, it reminds me of Butlins now, running around doing knee slides. But I just can't recommend that record highly enough, and it probably is my favourite record of the year so far. I am a bit of a nerdy fan, though, so understand I'm a bit biased, but I don't think I've seen a review critically under 9 out of 10 for it. It's a very strong record.
Passion, I think that's what we call that. Tom, we're going to come to you next.
I think my first choice for February is it's going to come from a new band from Montreal, and it's the kind of thing that I think 7-year-old Steve would kind of like to listen to, sliding around Butlins on his knees, to be
excellent.
Honest.
Excellent.
Oh, so
get off up that floor and stand up straight.
In the dungarees.
Yeah, for sure. It's from a band called Solids. They're from Montreal. They're a new two-piece. Anyone who's a fan of basically really abrasive lo-fi walls of feedback in your face party rock, basically lines of things like Japan Droids, No Age, that kind of thing, pick up this record now, because it's just like one of the most exciting things I've heard this year. I think literally the wait between Japan Droids albums is probably going to be a little while now, I think, since they've just finished their touring cycle last year, and they're not the biggest of producers, to be honest, in terms of content, but Solid's record is solid, basically. It's called Blame Confusion. It's out on Fat Possum, who are known for their string of really good bands right now, and it's loud, it's messy, it's pretty filthy like Steve's knees. Listen to it, because if you like short, sharp punk, but you know, with a lot of pop sensibilities as well, definitely really catchy hooks to get involved.
We should probably put a parental advisory sticker on the podcast for mentioning fat possums and filthy knees. But to bring us back to the world of decorum, Rad, tell us about your choice. Because okay. You're a man of refinement.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, James. I wouldn't go that far. But I'd say my choice for the month is semi-refined, I suppose, just because there's some folk tones involved in my choice for this. Well, one of my choices anyway. But it would be Angel Olsen's new record. New to her, as I am often new to most of my sort of my touts. But that album, new album's great. It's really, really pleasant. It's kind of folky in parts, garage rocky in other parts, and it's got like a bit of an electro undertone in there as well. And I think she kind of gained notoriety as an artist while working with Bonnie Prince Billy, which makes sense because I'm quite a fan of Bonnie Prince Billy as well, so that's good. And she's got a track on the album, I think it's like second track, third track, called Forget Forgive, and it's literally a belter. And it's the way the record kind of sets its tone, you think you're in for kind of a bit of a folk, a bit of a moody folk sort of trip. And then this kind of garage rocky track kicks off, and I had to turn it off and go and play guitar for 20 minutes and then come back and finish listening to it. It's kind of inspired that kind of feeling. So
does it pass the Butlins test, do you think?
Oh, God, I couldn't quite see in Butlins.
Angel Olsen in a red jacket.
Yeah, I couldn't quite see it there. Maybe not. No. Definitely, you know, Poke Little Festival.
She was scared of a lot of children.
Covered in mud. Yeah, it just definitely it does have like a degree of like some dark undertones in there. But you know, sometimes some of the tracks that she kind of puts kind of a joyful spin on some generally quite bleak emotions, such as like loneliness and stuff like that. So yeah, you know, what you're listening to is somebody generally complain about certain moods, but in such a way that it kind of reassures you that to feel lonely is kind of natural, normal, and everyone gets it. Everyone has that. So. Yeah, check the record out. It's really good. I think it comes with a set, or if you can still get your hand on
absolute gold dust.
Yeah, it did come with a 7-inch as well.
It came with a 7-inch.
Flying out like hot pies.
Vinyl, yeah, that sold on the day, I think.
Artwork's awesome as well. You know,
yeah.
Artwork is really good, and it was really funny. I'm not going to discuss the artwork because it's blue. It's actually red, but it's blue. And
he does like a saucy cover. I've picked this up before.
Oh, I do like a saucy cover. Yeah. Prefer a saucy inlay.
He's a collector of that kind of thing.
But yeah, I was sat on the sofa with my partner, and she wasn't really paying a lot of attention. Put the record on. She was into it, I could tell, but not like, you know, she wasn't as into it as I was. And I sat and looked at the cover, and three things popped into my mind. I'm not telling you what those three things were again because they were blue. But I passed her the cover and said, "Tell me three things, instant, quick, three things. What does this make you think of?" And two out of the three things that she was thinking, I was thinking.
Wow. Which
is weird. So there's subliminals for you there.
You're saying Angel Olsen's created a bit of a Rorschach test here?
Yeah, absolutely.
The next psychology star.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
Not only does it come with a download, it comes with telepathy. Yes. Yeah. Maybe. Okay. I've been listening to quite a lot of stuff actually. I was saying to Tom earlier, I've had a bit of a kind of a rebirth in terms of listening to new stuff for me.
Good.
I've put away the Des O'Connor records.
Good.
Just for now, you know, you can't get enough of Des. But I've been listening to a record quite a bit that you told me it didn't come out in February, came out in January technically, but I'm an old guard, so I think I'm allowed these kind of things.
But
I'm going down that route again of listening to people I can't pronounce. We've had this trouble before, but there's a Finnish, no, he's Icelandic, he's not Finnish.
Yeah,
we were talking about
Icelandic.
Some Finns earlier.
Yeah.
Icelandic, he's called Asgeir, I think that's how it's pronounced. And that wasn't me, you know, belching or anything. Asgeir, he's called. And his album is called In the Silence. And I think it's an interesting album because it's a kind of English language version of some stuff that he's done in his native tongue, in Icelandic. And John Grant has helped him kind of reinterpret that and rewrite some of that. So there's a hint of kind of, you know, that sort of cinematic, almost operatic kind of feel.
He's everywhere at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's working with everyone. There's some really nice stuff on it. It's a kind of... Rad mentioned folk, and they've kind of been put into a kind of melodic folk bracket, whatever that means. But it's kind of... there's a real sort of link to kind of folk roots in it. There's a couple of tracks I really like. There's one called Summer Guest, and the other one called King and Cross. And for me, it's kind of... It's a little bit out of my comfort zone. It's a little bit kind of... it's a bit jaunty, as someone might say. So that's one to go out and check, albeit slightly older than we're allowed. The other thing that's been occupying my turntable is a soundtrack album from a film we were talking about on our radio show, Inside Llewyn Davis, which is the new Coen Brothers film. It's a great soundtrack. It's based loosely on the life of Dave Von Ronk, who was kind of a very well-known, unknown folk star. Go and look it out on Wikipedia. But the lead actor, Oscar Isaac, does an amazing job in sort of recreating some of that work. So I've been dabbling with the folk myself. Steve, let's move on to your second choice.
We're going seconds. And this was a record that was really hard to get hold of, still is really hard to get hold of, because it's deleted now, and that's St. Vincent. And her record, self-titled.
It's been deleted, you say?
It's been deleted. It's fairly frustrating. There was only about 300 copies in the UK. The UK used the US's, or the sort of overspill of the US's supply. And then it was deleted on the day it was released, so you can't get it. And we only had 6 copies in here.
And you've got all of them.
I've got all of them, and they're all on eBay. No. fairly frustrating, because for record shops, I just want to make the point, for record shops, you know, you can sell a record like that all day long, it's a big thing, so it's fairly frustrating when artists just decide to delete it, or the labels get the distribution channels wrong. Anyway, similar story with Beck, but Beck's being repressed in Europe, but St. Vincent is now deleted. So, on to the music. Sorry.
Can you get it on cassette?
No. Oh. No.
Only mini disc.
Yeah, shall I come and see you afterwards?
Yeah, it's a great record, it really is. I've got to say, I've listened to it probably 4 or 5 times, and there's a hell of a lot of layers in the songs for me to kind of comprehend and give an honest opinion. But it's classic St. Vincent. I'm kind of glad she's called it St. Vincent. It's a St. Vincent record. It's very poppy. There's bits that sound like Prince. She's a very, very able guitarist. Production's great, lots of horns, lots of strange arrangements. She looks great. She looks like, well, she's been hanging around with David Byrne, and she looks like something out of a kind of David Lynch film.
Is it a hangover from the David Byrne album? Do you think there's a lot of elements on that album that were kind of
some of the arrangements. I know there's a lot of horns in that record. I've got to say, I've not really heard that record.
That's a great record.
Yeah.
I have heard that there's been a lot of influence from the David Byrne stuff, and a lot of people do agree with what you're saying. She's massively influenced by last record.
The bits I've heard of it, I kind of longingly wait for David Byrne's vocal to appear, and that's because I think my first experience of St. Vincent was that record that they jointly made.
Yeah, I mean, I've St. Vincent, Marry Me, that was probably my first introduction, and then went back and then went forward. That's the only record I haven't heard with David Byrne, so to me it's still very classic St. Vincent, so maybe she had more of an effect on David Byrne than he realised, rather than the other way around. But it's a great listen. It's classic hallmark St. Vincent, and it's extremely enjoyable. It's just got that something extra about it, and like I say, it's still sinking in, so I'm expecting a lot of mileage, and we'll see at the end of the year whether it creeps in the top 10. But yeah,
and it's had you strutting in your socks already.
Definitely my white, pristine white socks.
They are a fine pair. It's worth popping into Pine Vinyl just to see Steve's socks, I think. Try saying that again. But anyway, Tom, we'll come back to you for your second choice.
My second choice is Cheetah's self-titled debut album. Again, another debut. I think it's been a really strong year for debut so far, to be honest. And I wouldn't say this is the particularly strongest collection of tracks, but its standout moments are next to none. You know, it's a biggest ode to, you know, 90s college rock bands and so on and so forth, and it's always going to get comparisons. It's a massive shoegaze record, but it's also a lot more than that. You know, dives into contemporary indie rock, you've got a nice pop elements to it as well, and the hooks and melodies, the more you listen to it, the more they come through. You know, it's like they're paying respect to all those artists and things that they themselves grew up on, and anyone who's a fan of stuff like My Bloody Valentine's classic albums, you know, Loveless, stuff like that, is going to find a lot to love with
Cheetahs. My question for you is, does it have guitars, and does it have definition?
It has multiple guitars, it has...
They're a big band, aren't they?
Definition, Cheetahs.
Yeah.
They're growing, certainly.
No, I don't mean in like prestige. I mean,
oh, right, sorry. In terms of members. Yeah, I think there's about 5 of them.
5?
Yeah.
Because when they played Southsea Fest, I remember like loading their gear in, and just absolutely hating life. There's so much stuff. I mean, I thought we went to be at the band play earlier in the day, which are a large band.
Yeah.
And that done me. I definitely disc slipped me.
Yeah.
And then when Cheetah turned up, I was like, what is going on?
Suffering for the art.
You hear about bands that, you know, two piece, three pieces, creating sounds that are bigger than themselves. And Cheetah seem to be able to establish that effect, but with a big band themselves. So yeah, you're right. It's just absolute chaos when they play, but at the same time, like, you know, they really refine what they do, and the strongest tracks, you know, have this focus in them that really brings them to life, unlike a lot of other bands that are also trying the same thing, you know. I tend to find that it's all about more about the noise, with a lot of bands doing similar things, and a lot of the why you go there, you know, the hooks and things and that sort of sound gets left at the wayside. But like I say, it's not overall the strongest collection of tracks, but that's a really promising debut for a band that's clearly got a lot in them.
I'm going to check out the Cheetahs, because this year in 2014 I can officially declare that I am in search of guitars and definition. So far I just keep stumbling over electro, pop and folk, and it seems that there's a lot of that about, but that's my problem. Rad, you're brandishing a 12-inch under your arm there.
I'm holding a 12.
Maybe you could describe the cover. It looks quite disturbing to me.
It does look quite disturbing.
It's a glass of port.
Or is it?
Ah.
Or is it? What I'm holding is the reason I'm holding it as well, I might have to get this out there, is because I will forget the name of the featurings on this record. And I'll explain why I'll forget.
It's a prompt.
I shouldn't, because they're worthy of my of being burned into my memory. But, you know, anyway, I'm holding the soundtrack to Only Lovers Left Alive. It's the new Jim Jarmusch film, which is out of cinemas now. More importantly, it's airing at the number 6 cinema. And then, you know, the historic dockyard on the 11th of April. So don't go to Cineworld, don't go to don't go to Gunwharf, right? Get yourself into the dockyard.
Number 6 cinema.
But apparently, I mean, this film's like, it's got an interest, it's about vampires. All right, so we've had a lot of that. We've had a lot of that. I'm not sure whether we've had enough of that, but we've had a lot of that. it sounds like an interesting take on vampirism. But forget about that. The main reason I purchased it was because it has Jim Jarmusch's side project, his little band Squirrel, that like basically perform the majority of the soundtrack. And it also has like Zola Jesus, and it's co-written with Joseph Van Wisem. That was why I'm holding the record, because I was going to forget that dude's name. Don't know who he is. I might Google it later. I don't know. I might not. But anyway,
like us, that's where you want to go.
It's a great record. It's gatefold. 280 gram red records, and yeah, to answer Jim Sandy's question, it has a picture of a vampire on the front sipping what could be port or could be a small glass, maybe 50 millilitres of blood,
or cranberry juice,
or that, or cranberry,
Ribena,
or Ribena, or blood. But yeah, it's a really good record, and I've been collecting like Jim Jarmusch's Squirrel stuff since it sort of started up towards the tail end of last year, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they released like the Squirrel album was released in 3 small EPs, which each one is awesome. They look cool, they sound cool, artwork's decent, they're picture discs. Yeah, I just like his stuff, and it taps into the kind of lo-fi kind of Baltimore's party thing that I'm kind of motivated by.
ATP released it.
Yeah, ATP, yeah. Baltimore's party's release, so it's totally typical of what you'd expect of Baltimore's party's release.
It's so, a bit of a quirky one to check out.
And again, it had the other half's approval the other day. She's a third listen kind of girl. I can, you know, put it on, she won't hear it. I'll put it on a second time, she won't realise she's hearing the same thing that she heard the first time. By the third listen, she's like, this is quite epic, isn't it? And that was what she said. So to paraphrase, to quote Emma, this is quite epic.
And by the time she's listened to this podcast 3 times, you'll be in it, I'd imagine.
Probably, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's you talking.
Yeah, there he is.
That's quite epic.
The other thing that's been on my radar is, now, this is a new band to me, because I'm, you know, I'm just delving into the world of new music here. Band of Horses have released a live album. I think their first live album, called Acoustic at the Ryman. Now, I don't know much about this band other than they're from Seattle, but this, I gather you know more about this.
I just love the way you say Band of Horses, as though it's like those 3 words have never been put together.
Band of horses. Well, I'm learning.
Band of Horses.
I'm learning, but they remind me a little bit of Iron and Wine, who I've seen a couple of times actually, quite a good band. And what's interesting about this live album is, I think people were expecting a kind of, again, a acoustic, folky, live, you know, guitar-based album, but there's actually a lot of piano in it. They seem to have reverted to a kind of whole host of different instruments and tried out some of the kind of, apparently, their big songs. There's a real kind of warmth to the record that I kind of like. And, you know, kind of no experience of this band prior to this album. Kind of just picked it up kind of randomly, been listening to it quite a bit, and kind of, yeah, I think I'm kind of warming to it.
Check out their earlier albums. I mean, for me, Band of Horses were the real precursor to bands like Fleet Foxes, yeah. And kind of folky, slightly heavier folk, but... In terms of the melodies, across melodies, yeah, they're very much at the start of that.
First two albums are really,
yeah,
really
fantastic albums, really are, and they sort of had a lot.
There's
of
a track, Funeral, which I think is, or The Funeral, I think it's called, which is supposedly their biggest hit, which I've never come across before.
That's my fave, like, predictably,
and
yeah.
The live version's got a bit of a panning. It's kind of, people have said, oh, it's, you know, it's a bit dreary and slow, and
but it's got Funeral on it.
It's got it, and I think it works. I think it's quite a nice kind of song.
To hear it.
Where is the Ryman? Because these are all bands that, you know, the folk music, but they're designed and on a much bigger sort of arena rock scales, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the piano and more, you know, intimate instruments makes it more of a, like, an exclusive.
I don't know. I'm guessing it's not the Stationers. I don't know. You know, it's somewhere in Seattle. I think it's a moderate sized venue. I don't know. But again,
they've sort of really gone down that road, haven't they? They were a really quite sort of cutting edge sort of band, I guess. And I remember seeing them play at Primavera. In between the Hold Steady and Modest Mouse, and a lot of people were excited about Band of Horses, and they've sort of gone past that and gone into VH1 territory, you know, after their sort of three or four albums of doing very similar things, good quality songwriting, but you just kind of milked enough, you know. There's no surprises with Band of Horses, although they are a fantastic band and you know, very well thought of within that circle. I don't know. I like Band of Horses, but this sight me.
Some other bits and pieces I just wanted to mention. I listened to Temple's album, Sun Structures. I don't know if you've picked that up. This to me sounds like kind of if the Beach Boys got locked in a garage. This is the kind of noise that they would make. It's not particularly kind of a hit, I would suggest. But, you know, each to their own.
Soak's been picking up, though, hasn't it? And I think the thing with Temple's is that bands like Tame Impala, for example, which have brought back that psych sort of sound, they're doing interesting things with it, and that's why people engage with those records. The Temples record sounds like, sure, they listen to like a lot of psych bands and stuff, but they seem to be just doing it for the sake of it. You know, it's kind of trendy, it's kind of cool, we can make this sound with our guitars. They don't really push it anywhere new, I don't think.
I mean, I want my psych to sound acid infused, you know, because that's what it was, acid infused when it came around the first time. You know, it's like psychedelic rock, that's why it was called psychedelic rock. Everyone was tripping, so I want to hear. I want to feel like I'm tripping. I want to hear artists that are tripping, and that's what I want. I just want trips, all out trips.
You don't get any trips with this record, do you?
I'd take the Beach Boys reference. Actually, I'll take that because it's you know, some sort of really buttoned down, safe, you know, rock stars, really. And I don't mean like in the, you know, Alice Cooper sense of the word rock star.
The other album I wanted to mention was Neil Finn, who apparently has an OBE. Did you know that?
No.
Or it could be he has an oboe. It might just be a misprint, I'm not quite sure. But he's got a new album out called Dizzy Heights, and I'm not convinced by it. What he seems to be doing is trying to kind of, I don't know, meld his kind of affection for the Beatles with enthusiasm for the Flaming Lips.
Oh wow!
It doesn't quite work, but you know, maybe it's just a hard listener. So maybe we should try and seek that out. I was going to mention Bombay Bicycle Club because I was quite excited about it last time. I'm actually quite disappointed having heard it, but you know, kids, it's out there. Go and listen to it.
It's the number one festival hit of the summer, Luna.
Yeah,
you know,
it sells a lot of records.
But that's the point, isn't it? One man's treasure is another man's trash, and
indeed.
Vice versa. So,
now,
you know, James don't like it, but you always love it.
We're going to beautifully segue at that point, because we can do that, into I believe the BBC now have a music based channel called BBC Six Music.
Apparently
it's quite new, apparently. Yeah, it's only you know, just cropped up, but excitingly, they've had quite a big festival, the Six Music Festival in Manchester, and Pie and Vinyl had a presence there at the kind of fringe record group. So Steve, you went up there with the merry band of vinyl junkies from this fair shop.
Yeah,
how did it come about first?
Okay, it came about by hearing about it, sending an email. It was offered to record shops in the Greater Manchester area, So I sent an email just saying we're 5 minutes away from Manchester.
A little bit far.
Can we creep into your kind of strange borderline of record shops? And they kind of said yes. Sold it to them a bit more. Obviously, the fact we sell pies as well. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, quite humbly, a lot of the people at the BBC had heard of us as well. And we'd spoken about a lot on Boosie's Six Music, almost like this mythical two-headed beast that kind of sounds music and
like the unicorn of the record shops.
Yeah,
like,
you know. And
you've got Phil Jupiter as a big fan, I believe.
Hey, well, yeah, apparently. You know, he's you know, one of the guys that I guess has helped us out and come in and been a bit of a fan. And but yeah, those guys were very keen to have us up there, and we took up the offer, and off we went in our van full of many things.
The Morris Minor was packed up.
It was, yeah. You know, it was our first outside event. We wanted to look top for the BBC, for the Beeb, for Auntie. And yeah, I think we achieved that. It was a great weekend. It was busy. We got lots of exposure. We met pretty much the whole of BBC Six Music, all of their DJs. They all took the time to come over and talk personally and buy merchandise and records as well. I don't know, you just get into the surreal world of nodding at famous people that you met the day before and kind of, you know, like it's just normal, you know.
Did you have a favourite fanboy moment?
I did with Wild Beast,
several.
Yeah.
Steve had several. In fact, Steve had, Bob had several. I mean, I was the butt of many a joke at this festival because, yeah, these various, like, you know, Mark Riley would come over and I'd be like, hi, sir. And Rob and Steve are like quivering in the background. And Rob would be like, do you even know who that is? And I'd be like, no.
No.
Because do you know who Mark Riley is? I'm like, well, yeah, of course I do. Well, that's Mark Riley. And I'm like, Jesus, man, like, will you sit on Google DJs? Like, right, let's get Google Images up, see what obscure characters
we know, Guy Garvey walking around in Don Letts, and Brad's like, oh, he's got a nice hat, you know, and, you know, Jarvis, and, yeah, Damon, and Laura Laverne.
That's two extremes, right? I know, alright.
No.
If you're a fan of a band, you're going to know what the front man looks like. If you're not a fan of a band, why the hell would you have a clue?
Yeah. It's interesting because I guess most DJs are kind of faceless, but Six Music does very well.
I'd be more inclined to spot Tom in a crowd than I would bloody Lauren Laverne. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, she's a lovely woman, and you know, I listen to her and I enjoy everything that I hear on BBC Radio 6. She's, you know, and it was great to put a face to the name. I just haven't internet stalked her to the extent of knowing what she looks like.
So the setup was, I guess, a number of stalls from different record stores.
Yeah. So that was the other real positive, really. You know, getting to meet all of the record shops. Some of the bigger boys were there, Piccadilly and Manchester's main record shop. Rough Trade were there.
I think it was Action Records.
Action Records.
Preston, I think.
I believe so, yeah. A lovely record shop, probably my favourite record shop, a shop called The Music Exchange, based in Nottingham. They were fantastic. It's a kind of social experiment where they just have volunteers to work in the record shop. They come from lots of different social backgrounds and might struggle with kind of confidence or be slightly disabled or whatever.
They give people the platform to be able to get work when they don't have a fixed abode as well.
Yeah,
which I thought was really humble. Like, because obviously it's a vicious circle with people that are, you know, struggling with that. You know, you can't get a job unless you've got an address, and if you haven't got an address, you can't get a job. You know, so yeah, and they were lovely people, weren't they?
Yeah, they really were. I think we sort of bonded with those guys, and yeah, really great record shop. So it was a great weekend, and the BBC were really happy with us, and got lots of nice thank yous, and it was just really great to represent the area as well. And you know, you meet a lot of people that ask about Southsea and Portsmouth and what's going on. It was great to say, yeah, it's nice. We've got some good bits going on. There's a strong creative scene. There's you know, some good shops, there's a good movement, you know.
You're putting us on the map.
Yeah, well, that's
well
it.
Done
it's not,
to you.
Not just Pye Vinyl, it's City of Portsmouth as well and Southsea.
It's,
so
it's quite a lot of people that had kind of moved, migrated up north from down here, and they remembered living in Portsmouth or visiting Portsmouth when they were a lot younger, like 15 years or so ago. And they were just asking us questions about the area, like whereabouts you're situated, what's it like there now, and you know, it was really, really, really cool to just be able to talk to people about the city, even though they knew it. But then I kind of lost and forgotten it, like lost it in time. So yeah, it was really lush, like, in that sense.
So did you have a favourite moment from the festival? Was there a bit that you thought, wow, that was worth going for that? Other than meeting Don Letts, obviously.
Yeah. Getting some sleep was my favourite. Yeah. And also drinking shots through Rad's beard. That was
the beer straw.
That was good.
I think that potentially needs some elaboration there.
it's a bit like like a champagne fountain where you pour it into the top glass and it trickles down and percolates through the bottom glasses. You just do the same. You sort of pour it off my nose and it goes onto my moustache and in through my beard, and then it just showers out across your face.
So it's a glorious array of flavours.
Have a Zambuca beer chat.
It tastes so good.
You're really, so good. Really dragging them in now with that one, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've had lots of favourite moments. It'd be unfair to choose any one, but Rad singing karaoke and being forced to,
which was not my favourite moment,
kind of self-fulfilling prophecy by saying the words.
Can
Rad
I just add as well?
To the stage.
I got stitched up with this, right? Then Rob got stitched up with it. Both of us stepped up to the plate, right? And when we put Steve's name down on the piece of paper and told the karaoke presenter to come and get him, he mysteriously disappeared off the toilet for a period of time. Right, so he lost man points and he owes one for the team. Right,
the bravery.
I was all ready to sing an Aerosmith song, but
nature called.
Yeah, I was chatting to someone in the canteen. And
it was actually one of the workers for the Music Exchange, because I went and found him and that's what he was doing.
And it never was.
I never knew you'd done that. The guy did ask me and he said, oh, last song of the whole weekend, I want you to sing it. And I just said, I can't, I'm really busy. And he went, okay, and that was it. So, that's easy. So yeah,
excellent. Let's move on now to talk about something that's very exciting, which is Record Store Day.
Yes, Record Store Day.
It's coming up in April.
It is, April the 19th, Saturday. Things are starting to pull together. We have got Oliver Wilde announced. That's really going to kick off our week. We're trying to make it a week-long event, and we have Oliver Wilde at the Square Tower on the 12th of April. So fantastic venue, really happy with that. And Ollie Wilde's a fantastic musician and should be a pretty big act, I think, this year. He's got a new album coming out in May, so get along to that. Leading on to the week, we are showing our first Pie and Film night. So we're looking at showing a film, hopefully monthly, called Pie and Film, where essentially you watch a music related film and eat pie whilst you do that. The first edition is linked into Record Store Day. It's going to be Last Shop Standing, the new updated edition. But we've also got the author of the book, Graham Jones, down to do a question and answer session afterwards. And this guy is a living, breathing, he claims to have been to more record shops than anyone else in the UK, and I certainly believe him. So it'd be nice for folks to come along and reminisce over some of the record shops that were open in Portsmouth, perhaps, that he would probably remember.
Is that just something people can turn up to, or is it ticketed?
It is, yeah. I'm actually, check your inboxes, there'll be a mail shop going out about it. Basically, to book your seat, you just have to place an order for a meal, and that's all you need to do. So you can email us at contact@pieandbowen.co.uk or call into the store to place your order. So that's it, really. There'll be some other surprises on the night as well. There'll be some interesting flavours of popcorn and things. So that's on the Wednesday night. On the Thursday, I can exclusively reveal Smoke Fairies will be doing an in-store performance. They're releasing their new album that week. So that's Thursday night. And on Friday and Saturday, I can also exclusively reveal that we are having the road closed for Record Store Day, and also combined with Castle Road Day. This springtime is going to be a two-day event on the Friday and the Saturday. So the whole road will be closed down. There will be bands playing on both days. On the Saturday, there will be some bigger artists, which are yet to be announced. And also some artists playing from our label as well. So it's a whole week of events, and we're looking forward to it. So check your inboxes and look on our socials and check out for posters and stuff as we announce the act playing for Record Store Day. But yeah, certainly start by coming to see young Oliver Wilde at the Square Tower. Should be a great show.
And there'll be more updates, I'm guessing, on the web, which is pieandvinyl.co.uk. Now, rather excitingly, there's something else coming out, which is National Pie Week. And Rob, you're going to tell me all about that.
Indeed. National Pie Week, the 3rd to the 9th of March. We've tried to do some exciting things each day. We've run a competition for our Facebook followers to come up with their dream pie filling, which at the end of the week we're going to choose the winner and it's going to be made for them. So yeah, some very exciting and very interesting ingredients we've had so far. The Lucozade and Boost pie, pre-match pie warm-up is a good runner at the moment.
Are there any rules? Can anything go?
Anything goes, anything goes. It's the most innovative and the funniest and the one that makes us lol the most is going to win, and then we'll get it made and it will go on the menu for a bit. So,
so I'm already thinking banana and Stilton is quite a good match.
Well, have you tried it?
Well, I'll be willing to.
Yeah
I think okay. I'll give it a go.
Some things, you know, you'd never think they work, but they do, don't they? So yeah, just, you know, the most wacky, interesting and ridiculous filling, just say it and you've got a chance of winning. So
how are you going to capture that? Are you going to kind of, you know, add something to the menu longer term if it's a popular
combination? Yeah, we'll run it for a bit and see how it goes, and you know, we'll make a big thing that it's been chosen by the fans, if you like. So yeah, that's a big thing that we're doing. We've given a B of the Bang album giveaway, which we've done with every pie purchase. So free download with every pie. That was an exciting thing we've done, and we're going to be launching some new pies at the end of the week, which I can probably reveal because this will go out after.
It will.
We're going to do a gammon and dandelion and burdock pie.
Wow.
We're doing a sausage and ale pie. And we're also going to be introducing a sharer pie, which is chicken and onion bhaji. So,
wow.
Yeah, so some exciting things rolling into summer. So, you know, we're going to have a whole new summer menu coming up soon. But these are the first little steps into summery pies. So, yeah, it's very exciting.
And because you have to taste all of them,
of course.
You're the beef eater. You, I imagine your physical regime is quite tight. You know, you're running around the common to kind of burn off those extra calories.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, like lifting your arm 25 times. It's a good workout. I've got the strongest left arm in Hampshire for eating pies and no other reason. And yeah, it's just good fun. You know, we get the pies made, and it's great to experiment and sample and see what works. Some work, some don't. So.
And are there fabulous gravies or liquors involved as well?
There's lots of exciting things to happen. You just have to watch the space.
We will do that.
Excellent.
For now, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, before we go, Steve, you want to tell us about an art exhibition that's coming along in the store?
Yeah, really excited about this one. It's our first ever art exhibition actually in the shop. And we have the fabulous Lula Lapin Dear Little Menagerie exhibition, which is going to be from this coming Saturday until April the 30th. And yeah, just look out in the store for some lovely surprises. It's going to be hidden amongst the records in the restaurant area and the store around you. So yeah, I'll save the surprise. But come along and have a good look. Yeah.
Is it just exhibited, or is it stuff that people can buy? Or
I believe people can buy them. Yeah. Hmm. So if you like them that much, then come to the till and we'll hopefully give you a price. But they are really pretty interesting bits. Yeah.
Branching out into art and film. Who'd have thought it? Whatever next? Whatever next? With Pie and Vinyl Maps next. Maps of the world with pies on them.
Yeah.
Another great business idea that I've given you for nothing there. So, anyway, that's just about it for this podcast. As I mentioned, all of the fun things that are going on here at Pie and Vinyl you can find on the website, which is www.pieandvinyl.co.uk. My thanks to Rad and to Tom.
Thank you.
And to Steve and to Rob. And,
thank you.
We'll be back again very soon. But it's always worth another listen once you get to this stage in the podcast.